What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Polk, and today is June 20th. Happy Friday. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Off to Burke we go, is what a lot of people are singing after his performance yesterday. 5.1 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts against the Cardinals. Oh boy, is he finally looking like his September self again? No, he is not. This was pretty good four-seamer location outside of the first inning. That first inning, my gosh, he even threw a 96-mile-per-hour fastball right down the pipe to Nolan Arenado, who hit it far left field, and it's caught on the warning track. But you saw Sean Burke, he put his hands up like, oh no, right as it happened. And he did correct himself after that. The four-seamer was up after. It wasn't at 96-plus, though. It was really 96-97 the first, and then it really got down to 93-94. While the slider wasn't very good, the changeup wasn't very good, the curveball was flipped into the zone enough, had a good CSW, but it wasn't really this big, oh my gosh, curveball. And I'm still out on Sean Burke, unfortunately. You know, he also gets the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers, so that's pretty easy, right? That's the first thing you should always look for. Whenever you are thinking of picking these guys up, make sure it's a decent enough matchup, right? The Diamondbacks and Dodgers are not it. Gavin Williams, oh my gosh, what do we do? But Nick, it was a good start. It was 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, 6 Ks. This is like the thing you've been saying. Yeah, I know. And also, he's still down at 95, not 97 on this fastball. His extension, which was 7 feet, is at 6.5. That was 6.3 before. And his sweeper, his sinker, and his curveball, they combined for 38% strikes across 42 thrown. 38% strikes. Yes, the four-seamer and the cutter are working in tandem. This cutter was a very necessary pitch for Gavin Williams, as I was banging the table about, and I'm glad it's there. But when it comes to actual location and working his arsenal, it's not there. This was the Giants not being so good. I wonder also if he's holding back to get better command. I don't know. He's not really getting better command. It's weird. Gavin Williams just bothers me, and I don't know what to do. Okay, cool. Ryan Burgert against the Dodgers. Props to him. 4.2 innings of 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. 1 for 18 whiffs on the slider isn't cool. He had some Koufax love here. He did generally have some good four-seamer location, but yeah, this isn't the Blake Snell blueprint that I really want from Burgert. Now, he does have a high vert four-seamer, and he has an 87-mile-per-hour slider that can't go down. So you're tempted maybe for the Nationals, but he's a righty, not a lefty, and the Nationals, with all their lefties, are generally good against something like this. So I would not go for that with Ryan Burgert. Christopher Sanchez against the Marlins did everything you want him to do. It was 96 miles per hour, 8 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, only 4 Ks, but that's fine. 16 call strikes in the sinker, 10 whiffs on the changeup, we're good. Logan Webb, he's dope and makes us feel dope. That's awesome. Edward Cabrera against the Phillies. He was up a tick or two, 1.5 ticks on the sinker, which is great. And he also threw far more sinkers than four-seamers. Yes. Please stop throwing that four-seamer, which, by the way, what do you know? 40% strikes. Don't do it. Thank you so much, Cabrera. Now, get the changeup back, though. You barely touched the changeup, and it wasn't very good. The curve was 6 for 16 whiffs. No, I got it right. 6 for 18 whiffs. Come on, Nick, get it right. 67% strikes. That's good for the curveball for Edward Cabrera. Paired with that sinker that got outs and was very effective for him. But it's not everything yet. The slider isn't there. The changeup isn't there. I feel as if Edward Cabrera isn't quite putting it together quite yet. And it looks like it is from the 6.1 innings. 1 run, 2 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks against the Phillies. 82 pitches. Maybe I'm just being too critical of this and wanting something more out of him. But look, at least the sinker is the focus, and that's good. At least the curveball is gaining strikes, and that's good. I just think he needs a little bit more for those secondaries for me to really, really lean into him moving forward. And the next start for Edward Cabrera would be the Giants and the Twins. So maybe I am underrating this, and maybe you should be going out and getting Cabrera now. Honestly, at 82 pitches, he could have maybe finished that 7th as well. I think I'm okay with that start against the Giants. I would be fine with that, but it could easily be a reversion in the next start. Jacob Lopez, though, I would be going for in your 15-teamers and maybe your 12s as well, because he just had 21 whiffs against the Astros. 6 innings of 1 run, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 9 Ks. You're like, who is this guy? He is a southpaw for the Athletics. And yes, this was in Sacra Verde, like the harder place to pitch, and he still did well. Gallo's pull at 21 whiffs, insane. His changeup, this is not actually the thing that I think about with Jacob Lopez. I think about four seamers and cutters with good extension up and away from right-handers with this slider that sneaks in too. He had a changeup that was 11 for 31 whiffs, 42% CSW as it went against these right-handers. Slider was even back foot at times, 30% CSW, not the highest strike rate, like 56%. But it had five whiffs. And then you had the cutter at 10 over 12 strikes that covered for the four-seamer that was nibbling up and away. And that was actually kind of cool. You have this four-seamer that is out of the zone that would get outs and some strikeouts if they went and chased it. But they didn't chase it. It could be that cutter that came back over. It's a fun little game. He gets the Tigers, the Rays, and the Giants. And I'm kind of interested in that. So Jacob Lopez has gotten more strikeouts than you'd expect. I'm kind of in. It's like a 6.8 extension. We've seen it 7 before. This could be good. Michael Wacha against the Rangers, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. This is Wacha doing good things with his changeup, especially against right-handers too, which is kind of cool. You normally see it, you know, changeups having success as a right-handed pitcher against left-handers. That's cool. He also had 2 strikeouts on the slider. Nice. And 1 on the curve. Spencer Strider against the Mets. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. 18 whiffs, 36% CSW. This looks like the ace of old. And yeah, the Mets aren't doing well. And I want to tell you that it is the old Strider because it was 97 mile per hour velocity, right? Well, no, it was 96. And the slider that used to be 86, 87 is 84, 85. And that is a little weird. The four-seamer command is not great. It's in the zone, but it's down and up, which might be helping him because the slider command is absurdly good. It's kind of like Jacob DeGrom, down and in to lefties and down and away to right-handers. Pretty much the same spot down in glove side consistently throughout the night. It's how he got those ridiculous whiff numbers against the Rockies, and he went 14 whiffs on 40 thrown here. That is a 35% swing strike rate. That is the slider of old returning for Spencer Strider. So that is great. I wonder if the four-seamer is going to allow more damage on it. And I'm a little like, okay, but is this real? Is this actually going to stick? Are you going to be able to have that slider command every time? But yeah, obviously we're starting Strider, but I'm not ready to say that he is just completely back. Charlie Morton against the Rays. Another good start. 6 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 0 walks, 7 strikeouts. It's a Vargas rule. We keep going. And he's going against the Rangers. It was curveballs galore. He also had whiffs on his four-seamer, which is not a good shape four-seamer. But when you do the Blake Snell blueprint, you can get more out of these pitches because it was upstairs four-seamer, none in the middle of the plate. Curveballs were down. They help each other out. It's good. The guy that I really want to pick up is someone I've been interested in before. I've been out on a lot. And he had an amazing second half last year. And it's not Eric Fede. He went 5 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks against the White Sox, whatever. I don't really want to go for that, maybe in 15 teamers. But it is someone I'm going to tell you after this break. That guy is Ryne Nelson. Yesterday against the Jays, he got the win. 5.2 innings, 1 run, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. Not the most overwhelming line, but really hard to hit. Why? Because he didn't get a ton of whiffs. It was only 8 whiffs. His fastball wasn't absurdly well spotted, but it had 21.5 inches of vert. I believe that is the highest amount of vert I have seen from a single four-seamer the entire year. He didn't throw like 10 of them. He threw 60% of these. It was something else. The fact that he didn't have anything else underneath, we're talking 50% strikes on the slider, but then 37% strikes on the cutter and curve. Like, what? Not even actually. It was like 33 and 36 on those. If he gets something else to pair with this underneath, anything for strikes underneath, this is golden. And Ryne Nelson also had a slightly flat attack angle, believe it or not. With that vert, you normally see a very steep attack angle. No, this was flat, 1.1. Yeah, I'm just like, wow. It's pretty nuts. He gets the White Sox. Ryne Nelson. Look, whatever you figured out with this, is over 2.5 inches more vert in Toronto. Maybe the dome is helping a little bit for it. I mean, we know that Minute Maid Park, or actually Daikin, I should say, and Tropicana increased vert slightly. Maybe the Jays are doing that, but it still wouldn't be 2.5 inches. And I didn't see that with Gausman on the other side. This is cool. So Ryan Nelson, I would pick up against the White Sox just on the off chance that he does happen to have this four-seamer at the same vertigo, and also could have finally something underneath, just anything for strikes underneath would be so good. The other side of that was Kevin Gausman, who did not do well, as I mentioned. 4.1 innings of 7 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. And what's so frustrating is that he had these two amazing outings with his splitter finally getting whiffs again. And it did well here. 25% swing strike rate, 8 over 32 whiffs. But 53% strikes, and his 4-seamer command is just bad again. And it has been for the last, like, 3 starts now. And it shouldn't be. That's an old skill of his. He's had that before. So why is it that all of a sudden when he gets his other old skill back, he loses this one? I don't know. It's really strange. It's incredibly frustrating. And he's a hipster. Headache-inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster. It's up to you if you want to hold on to that or not. I have to think that the splitter will stay and the four-seamer command will get better. That's just where my head is at. Michael McGreevy against the White Sox was a spot start here. And I was really impressed with McGreevy. His command is very legit. And it's what I remember from the spring as well, where he's able to get his sinkers lined up on the black inside to right-handers consistently and with sweepers away. And then four-seamers and cutters were upstairs doing a cannibal McSanchez against the lefties. And he just has that approach, and he executes it. And he had a good start. 5 innings, 1 run. 3 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks against the White Sox, sure, yep. But if he happens to get another start, if the Cardinals see someone else, or really, sorry, if they get an opportunity for McGreevy to go past the spot start he has next time, that is against the Cubs, which I don't really want, then it would be the Pirates. And who knows where the St. Louis Cardinals rotation is in 2 weeks. So that would be something I'd very much be in for, but he likely will not be making that start. He will be making the Cubs one, but that's it. You have Chase Elander against the Nationals, 6 innings, 2 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 2 strikeouts. He survived via Koufax helping him out. His fastballs and curveballs were just well over the plate, and the Nationals obliged. They somehow didn't hit it. Fine. Get him out of Colorado. Maybe he can be good. I don't want to do it otherwise. Paul Skenes, ace is going to ace. Tarik Skubal, ace is going to ace. Paul Skenes had 21 whiffs for co-chair of the Gallows poll. And by the way, I'm just really sad that they didn't make Skenes versus Skubal happen. Yeah, it's stupid. 5 walks, though, by Skenes. Just got to mention that. Kind of weird. Okay. Trevor Williams, number Trevor. He got rocky road, so he had 5.1 innings of 200 runs. But he also had a terrible whip in 6 Ks. Just don't do it. Drew Rasmussen against the Orioles, 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. They pushed him to 92 pitches in this one and into the 6, which is cool. His command to right-handers was the biggest issue. Everything was nibbling on the outside of it for 4-seamers and cutters, while his sinker was just well down the middle. And that really was the issue. He was great against lefties. But yeah, that's the problem. And I understand that though there are many people who don't really love Rasmussen because he's not getting strikeouts. And games like this, yeah, this is not the good whip that we expect. It's just, it isn't a ton of value. You're not getting that like 6-inning, 9-strikeout game or something, 1 in every 3 games or something like that, right? So I get it, and I might be lowering him on my list a little bit because he's kind of mid in this way. And until he unlocks the breakers, he won't be incredible. Not to mention the Rays will continue to baby him in some fashion. And it's just a different ceiling than others. Colton Gordon against the Athletics. 5 innings, 200 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. I gave this a win for PLBot. Congrats, PLBot. I picked Chris Paddock. Oh, gosh, we'll talk about that one soon. It isn't easy pitching in Sacre Verde. And he looked a lot like J.P. Sears throwing these sweepers well over the plate, sliders too, and fastballs in there, and curves against right-handers. But against lefties, he did throw the sweeper away, which is very good. Some sinkers in there too. I'm not really too in on Colton Gordon. He goes against the Phillies next. I don't really think it's that great. I prefer Brandon Walter instead. I prefer Jacob Lopez as other interesting non-high-velocity lefties go. Jacob Latz, maybe a little bit too. He followed Sean Armstrong for the Rangers against the Nationals. 5.2 innings and 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and no strikeouts? How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? This was essentially Koufax, of course, helping out. He had changeups that were actually for strikes, and one of my bigger concerns of him as a starter is that we wouldn't see changeups landing for strikes. As a reliever, he's had a lot of misses arm side. And that one other start he had, he actually got the changeup down. And he didn't hear. This was middle away. Four seamers, a bit over the plate. I didn't really like this. But there is some intrigue with 18 to 19 inches of vert. And if he's able to get that changeup underneath, there can be a lot of right-handed dominance. You have Yoshinobu Yamamoto against the Padres. 6.1 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. It was a bit of a careful licorice with another run in that 7th inning. And I still can't believe that the immaculate inning was ruined by an 0-2 fastball right down the middle called the ball. I don't get it. It's absolutely frustrating. Also, throw more high fastballs. I don't care. I'm going to keep saying that. Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I got this, guys. Yeesh. You got to throw high four seamers if you want to really push up the strikeout totals. I'm just telling you right now, it's better. But obviously, of course, he's had a great year and yada, yada, yada. But like, you're helping them out with these low fastballs. Give them a chance. Carlos Rodon against the Angels got the win. A poor quality start. 5 base, 107 Ks. He didn't have his changeup, just a 42% strike rate and 2 over 12 whiffs. Still, he did everything he needs to do with his four-seamer and slider to get there. So we're happy with Rodon. Freddy Peralta, he's a cherry bomb, and he got a win, but 5 innings, 300 runs, but 4 base runners and 6 Ks. Yep, that's a dusty donut. And yep, Freddy Peralta. Clay Holmes, 6 walks in this game against Atlanta. 4.2 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 5 Ks to go with those 6 walks. It's one of those games where I've been saying for a long time that Clay Holmes, oh man, he's a wild card. He's going to have the high walk rate, and he hasn't. And even in this one, I don't want to say that because where he missed was right outside of where he was supposed to. And all those high cutters that were just a little too high, sweepers and sliders that were just outside of the zone, away to righties, changeups that were just down off the corner, like not really chaotic. It was just not as accurate as he was precise, but not accurate. You have Keydair Montero in a spot start for the Tigers following Tyler Holton. Maybe not a spot start, we'll see, but you don't want to roll with him. Moving forward, you might get Reese Olson back next week, so you wouldn't have any more Keydair Montero. But this was against the Pirates. 5 innings of 1 and run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Great stream if you went with this. Very strange to see Montero not utilize his slider much at all. He threw 6 of them. And then he elected to go with his curveball 20 times instead for a 45% strike rate in 2 over 20 whiffs. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. But okay, it worked out. So props to you. Tyler Anderson went against the Yankees. And it was honestly good, Tyler Anderson. It was changeups away. And you have the four-seamer going up and into right-handers. Good cutter command. Like, it was pretty much there. Which means I'm encouraged facing the Red Sox in Los Angeles next time for Tyler Anderson. I think he can pull that one off. Chris Paddock, as I mentioned, did not have a good game, and he was at 91.4 miles per hour. If you followed this, he's pretty much been at 94 the entire season. Sometimes it was like 93, 93 and change, but 91.4 is not what you want from Chris Paddock. He also had 2 inches less vert as well. And he only allowed 3 hits on that fastball with a 71% strike rate. This is strange. It was at Cincinnati, got the win, 5 innings, 400 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. He also just had a bad outing against the Astros, but I don't really think that was that bad as far as his skills were concerned. This is actually poor skills. So I'm concerned. And you guys can do what you want here. I don't know what the right move is. Maybe you can hold on to him and just see how the next one goes. But I'm concerned about Chris Paddock. I got no updates for you on him. They didn't mention anything about the drop velocity. He would go against the Mariners and then the Tigers for his next two. I honestly just feel like you move on. There has to be something here. It was not raining. I took so long trying to check if it was raining. It was not raining in Cincinnati last night for this game. So I don't know. Got nothing. Jameson Taillon against the Brewers. 4 innings of 5 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. I wonder if the rainout messed up his routine a little bit. It was a doubleheader here, only 68 pitches too. And I got to say, Taillon had a bad sweeper the past couple starts against right-handers, but the four-seamer and changeup, like some blueprint, really worked really well against left-handers. Both of those things are still bad. Or actually, were bad in this one, not just one. because the changeup was thrown just two times. He didn't have feel for that kick change. While the sweeper and cutter both allowed a home run to right-handers as both of them were left over the middle of the plate. He did well with the four-seamer and curve to left-handers, but not having the kick change and also still having trouble with that sweeper to right-handers is a little concerning. It's why he's halted on this amazing Vargas role that he's had. I'm going to imagine he's going to do better, at least with the kick change against the Cardinals, and still be good. But that is why it's likely going to be at the top of questionable, not really inside that probable. Maybe it's at the bottom of probable for Tyone. But be aware of both of those things and hope that they come back in that next one. Mike Vassell went for the White Sox 3.2 innings of 600 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. I'm happy he got 6 strikeouts and he's up a tick to 95 and 6 over 16 whiffs on it. But he has 13 inches of vert, and that should not continue. Andrew Heaney did not do well, and neither did Nick Martinez, and honestly, neither of them are guys you want to go for. Heaney, 700 runs in 4 innings against the Tigers, and 700 runs in 2.2 innings for Nick Martinez against the Twins. And Martinez is going to get the Yankees, Fenway, and Phillies next. And Heaney, well, it doesn't really matter. When Heaney isn't doing well, you don't do it. Not even against Milwaukee in Milwaukee. I'm sorry, I just don't want to do that. But that is it for today. Enjoy Didier Fuentes against the Marlins today. Do I want to pick him up? I think it looks like a spot start. Maybe Elder is just so bad and Fuentes is so good that they keep him around. It's also possible that you bring up a guy at 20 years old from single A for a start and you just say, you know what, let's just do this. Remember what they did with Schwellenbach a little bit, but quite a little different there. Also, AJ Smith-Shawver had something like this as well. The main thing about Fuentes is that he throws this really good 96 mile per hour four-seamer, and there isn't much else. So I'm very curious to see what the secondaries are, if that four-seamer can just completely dominate upstairs. And I do want to also mention that Blake Tidwell is coming back today for the Mets. It's his second start. He already made his MLB debut about a month or two ago. And really there, I'm not expecting him to do incredibly well. I think Tidwell needs more out of the secondaries. At least that's what I saw in the MLB debut. I'm curious to see what we get this time. I do think that Tidwell should be there instead of Paul Blackburn anyway. So this actually might be something that carries over. Definitely pay attention to that one as well. But also you should watch Fuentes live with the PitcherList community tonight on Playback. Playback.tv/PitcherList. That's going to be really fun. It's going to be a hosted stream. Can't wait for that. And I'm so curious to see what Didier Fuentes has for us. But that is it for today. Thank you all so much for subbing. We got to 10,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is incredible. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.